So we'll discuss some in Yoni Chanukah. We'll begin with the Rambam. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, which is really Paragimel, because as we'll discuss, he puts it together with Hilchos Megillah and Purim. So he does something he doesn't usually do. He starts off with a history lesson. He starts off the Bayisheni. He tells us it's during the Second Temple. And he goes on, he tells us the story about how the Greeks try to get the Jewish people not to keep the Torah mitzvahs. And Chazal tell us specifically Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Milah, three things that were unique to the Jewish people. And he goes on and then he explains the Chashmonam were victorious and they were Kohanim and they beat out the Greeks. And he says, and it was a tremendous Yeshua, it was a tremendous redemption. And they retain Jewish control for over 200 years. Yeter Amatayim Shana Ad Churban Hasheni, until the Churban Abayis. So the Rambam usually doesn't give us, and I'm sure he knew history well, but he doesn't, especially in the Mishnah Torah, he doesn't usually give us a history lesson. So in fact, especially because the Rambam in his Hakdama to Mishnah Torah tells us what the purpose of the book is. He tells us that, and some people take him to task on this for being a little too haughty, that he says, the purpose of this book is I want it to be a compilation of all Torah Shabbat Peh. You don't have to go anywhere else. If you open up the Rambam on everything, you take the 24 books of Tanakh, and you take my Sefer, you only have to walk around with two Svarim, and I'll take care of the rest. So he says his purpose of the Sefer, that's what he calls it Mishnah Torah, which some people don't like, but that's the name of Sefer Dvarim, which is the name Chazal gives the fifth book. But so he says, my purpose is to explain the whole Torah Shabbat Peh. And so the question is, what is the Rambam here telling us, giving us a history lesson? If the whole purpose of the book is the halakhic work of Torah Shabbat Peh, nowhere else do we find that he begins with the history of the Yontif. Why Dafka by the Yontif of Chanukah? So there are a couple of different approaches. Approach number one is, so obviously in these approaches we have to come up with some halachic significance. The answer is you're right. The Rambam is not a history book and he's not coming merely to tell me Jewish history. If he's bringing it down in Mishnah Torah, he must be addressing some halachic concern. So there are three different approaches to which halachic concern is the Rambam, maybe all three. Which one is the Rambam dealing with? So the first issue is, we know when we talk about the Yontif of Chanukah, when we always talk about comparisons and to contrast, we always move right over to Purim. Purim and Chanukah, brother and sister, they're both post-biblical. So there's a lot of contrast between Purim and Chanukah. So what obvious contrast is that the Gemara Megillah asks is how come there's no Hallel on the Yontif of Purim? Chanukah we know, Gomer is a Hallel. We say Hallel 8 days. It's one of the 18 days. It's 8 of the 18 days that we're Gomer is a Hallel. So the Gemara asks the Megillah and Erechin, why no Hallel on Purim? So the Gemara gives three different answers. Answer number one the Gemara gives is because the difference is Chanukah happened in Eretz Yisrael, and Purim happened in Chutz Laretz. So only a nace that happens in Eretz Yisrael, that warrants to saying a Hallel. So Purim was in Chutz Laretz, no Hallel. The second answer the Gemara gives is Kriyasa Zu Halela, that the reading in the Megillah takes the place of Hallel. That we do have Hallel, we read the Megillah to Esther, and therefore that takes the place of Hallel. So really there is Hallel both on Purim and Chanukah. We'll come back to that in a second. And the third answer to the Gemara is Akate Avde Achashverosh Anon. We are still servants of Achashverosh. It's true, the decree of Haman of Lahashmi Laharu is called Yehudim Tafanashim. It's true we survived that decree, but nevertheless we didn't have Jewish control. We still were under the dominion of another king. And therefore, as the Gemara says, we always say Hallel when we're in a state of Avdei Hashem, and not Avdei Paro, not Avdei Achashverosh, not Avdei Antiochus. We have to control our own destiny, so to speak, as much as we can. And therefore, we don't say Hallel on Purim because we're still under the dominion of Achashverosh. Those are the three reasons the Gemara gives why we don't say Hallel on Purim. So some want to suggest this is why the Rambam is giving us the history lesson. He's explaining to us why we do say Hallel. One might be wondering, you know, is Hanukkah a time where you could say Hallel or not? Because maybe it's like Purim. So therefore, it comes to tell us it wasn't enough that it's true we beat out the Syrian Greek, but maybe we're still under the dominion of Avdei Antiochus, whoever. Comes along the Rambam and emphasizes, no, for two, it wasn't just a momentary victory. For 200 years, we kept control of the Beit HaMikdash until Churban and Sheni. So that's what the Rambam's coming to tell me, that we are no longer Avdei Savuma Sahuam King, we are Avdei Hashem, and that's our head. That's why, and in fact, the Rambam talks about Hilchos Hallel in Hilchos Chanukah, because that's what he's coming to tell me. He's focusing on our own control, our own Yeshua, so explaining why we say Hallel. That's how some suggest. However, the kasha on this answer is, the Rambam himself, so this seems to say, the Rambam holds, what's the reason why you don't say Hallel on Purim? It's because Akate Avdei Achashverosh Anan. The problem is, or an apparent problem anyway, is the Rambam himself, when he gives the reason why we don't say Hallel on Purim, he says, he gives the second reason of the Gemara, Kriyasa Zu Halela. He says, the reason why we don't say Hallel is because, well, maybe we do say Hallel, we read Kriyasa Megillah. That's why. So how do we reconcile this by over here assuming the issue is Avdei Achashverosh, yet the Rambam himself doesn't give that reason? So someone has suggested as follows. There's a famous Meiri that talks about what happens if you live in a place where there is no Megillah on Purim. In fact, they discuss the Har Tzvi discusses in his Tuvah regarding Hanukkah about the Israeli soldiers, those, let's say, are in Lebanon, could they make Ashan Nisim or could they make Shachiyano? They discuss the question, well, if you don't have Neiris, could you still make the Shachiyano, maybe the Ashan Nisim? So the Meiri talks about it by Purim. He says, you know what, if you're in a place where there is no Megillah, you know what you do? You say Hallel. That's what the Gemara, he interprets the Gemara to mean, that really there's a chiyuv to say Hallel on Purim, just like Hanukkah. Alright, so what is the Hallel? They said Megillah is Esther. But obviously, a logical extension of the Gemara seems to be like the Meiri. In a place where you don't have Megillah, so therefore, we're back to our original premise, we have to say Hallel, and therefore we would say Hallel. That's the Meiri Shita. However, the fact that we don't pass in that way, if we don't have Megillah, we would not say Hallel. So why not? The Meiri seems very compelling. Why don't we say Hallel? So the Mepharshim point out that we interpret the Gemara differently. In other words, the Meiri was learning the Gemara apparently that really you should be saying Hallel on Chanukah, but you know what? I mean on Purim. But Megillah's Esther is just as good, if not better, more appropriate. But of course, if there's no Megillah's Esther, then of course you say Hallel. So the other Mepharshim saying, no, that's not the pshat. That we know there's different types of Hallel. There's a Hallel HaMitzri, as they call it. And let's say different names. The Hallel, we'll call it a Psukiyah de Zimra. We'll see Ashri versus the Hallel we know it. In other words, there's two types of Hallel. There's the classical Hallel HaMitzri. We say a miracle. A nace, a supernatural miracle happened. We say Hallel HaMitzri. But also Psukiyah de Zimra every day, or Ashrei, Psukiyah de Zimra talks about the nace of Nisan within Teva, as the Bali Musha like pointing out, that we know if someone saw Tchiyas HaMeisim today, they saw a resurrection of the dead, they say, wow, what a miracle. But a baby born, big deal, they'd be yawning about it, like, what kind of miracle is that? The Bali Musha, it's a bigger miracle for a baby to be born, because at least for the Tchiyas HaMeisim, the body is there, he's just resurrecting it. But to start create something out of nothing, that's a big innate. But what does the Ramban says, what's the difference? Really, everything's innate, but things that happen all the time, we call nature. Things that happen once in a while, we call innate. Like his example he gives is, when the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael during the time of Yoshua, Yoshua said, you know what? When we get to Israel, they're going to plant seeds, and the trees are going to grow 50 feet, or food's going to grow out of the ground. They didn't believe, what? You mean wheat? You mean fruit growing? And they couldn't believe it. But Marmei Shamayim, of course, it would be the opposite today, because we used to, so that's what the Ram points out. So there's two different types of Hallel. There's a Hallel we say on Nisim, which on the Malami Derech HaTeva, that's the classical Hallel as we know it. And then there's the Hallel and the Derech HaTeva. That's how the Meshech Chacham explains that what's the difference. The Gemara says, one who says Hallel every day is a Magadeh. He's like blasphemy. He's cursing out God. Yet one who says Ashrei three times a day is Zocha to Olam Haba. What's the difference? Last I checked, they both come from Sefer Tehillim. Ashrei comes from Tehillim, and Hallel comes from Tehillim. So how come if I say one part of the Sefer I'm the greatest every day, one I'm terrible? So the Meshech Chacham explains this to Yisrael, because when do you say Hallel? Hallel is over a miracle in Malam Ederech HaTeva. If the only time you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a supernatural nace, you're missing the whole essence. But Ashrei is in the form of Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. One who sees God on the everyday things, you're born, you woke up this morning, you have legs, you have arms, we see, the things you have common with animals, that type of attitude, that's going to lead you to Olam Haba. So either way, there's two types of Hallel. So, but the Mefarshim I want to say is like this. Because it's not like the Meiri learned the Gemara, that really you should say Hallel also on Purim. Except Megillah is the best thing, but if no Megillah, say Hallel. It's a totally different type of Hallel. The Megillah, the Hallel Chazawa Misakin was the Hallel of Megillat Esther. Megillat Esther is the only book in Tanakh that doesn't have Shem Hashem in it. It's all one coincidence after another. It's all within Derech HaTeva. So the Hallel that was Chazal said to say on Purim wasn't the classical Hallel HaMitzvah as we know it. It was a different Hallel. It was the Hallel of Megillat Esther. So if you don't have a Megillat Esther, you can't just go up and start saying another Hallel.
That's why we shouldn't say Hallel on Yom HaTzmut.
But that's part of the discussion in terms of whether we'll save that discussion when we get close to Yom HaTzmut. But that's the whole discussion,
right?
Whether you say Hallel on Yom HaTzmut, you know, this is all part of the issue. So that's how they explain it. So perhaps, maybe, when is Akate Abde Achashverosh on an issue? Maybe that's only the classical Hallel. But it's Hallel HaMitzvah, then it's an issue. But by Kriyas HaMegillah, it's a different type of Hallel, so therefore maybe it's different. But either way, however you want to learn the Rambam, that's the first shot. Why did the Rambam go into the history? He gave us a history lesson to teach us the importance of saying Hallel, that you have to be Abde Hashem and not Abde someone else. That's the first approach in the Rambam, why he gave us a history lesson. Approach number two is another aspect of Chanukah versus Purim. Because we know the Rambam calls it Yemei Mishta, Simcha. And we know in general, when we assume of Simcha, we think of food, we think of Suda, we think of eating. And that's why, and that's the famous kash of the Levush. The Levush asked, Uhalacha, at least in the Shulchan Aruch, we make a chiluk between Chanukah and Purim. On Purim, we assume there's a chi of Suda. There's an obligation to have a meal, a pashat, you know, with bread and everything on Purim. But on Chanukah, the Ramah writes, really, the Iker is that you probably don't have to have a meal. That's why he says you should have Divrei Torah, Shiros, Betishpachos. You should make it into a Suda. You should have one, but you should do other things. And what does the Levush say? The famous Levush is, because why is it that Purim was set up with the Suda, not Chanukah? Because the nature of the persecution was totally different. By Purim time, it was Haman, Lahashvi, Lahavaret, Kol Yehudim. In other words, there's two types of anti-Semitism in the world. There's like what we call ethnic anti-Semitism and religious anti-Semitism. Ethnic is, let's say, Hitler. He didn't care whether you believed in God, whether you were firm, you weren't firm. He didn't even care if your mother was Jewish. If your father was Jewish, it was enough. And he didn't care what you believed in. If you were a Jew, that's it. Nothing, there's no way to out. We're going to kill you. Like Haman. And there's another type of religious anti-Semitism. That in terms of that if you would, you know, so to speak, you know, convert on your own, like I think Rav Yonatan Eichitz used to say. That's also a little illogical also, because he says, my father always, when one of the Galus tried to tell him to, like, forcibly convert him, so he said, well, I don't know, my father taught me that if I have a, I think he said a fair, but if I have a horse and you have a horse, and you're willing to give me $1,000 with your horse, that tells me my horse is better. If you have to pay me money or give me other things to convert, you're telling me my religion is better. So there's an illogical thing of any forced conversion. But either way, at least religious, at least they don't want us dead per se. If we want to accept their culture, then great. Like the Greeks. The Greeks didn't want us dead. It was only after we didn't accept their culture and we didn't want to give in. And then they said, okay, then we have to kill you. So there's two types of anti-Semitism. That's what Chazal had two Yom Tovim. The Yom Tovim of Chanukah is religious anti-Semitism and Purim is the ethnic. So that's what they say here. That so that's what the Lubavitcher is. So it is that that's why Purim is a Chiyuv Suda and Chanukah is not. But the Rambam seems to say Pasin, we don't not like the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is a Pasin like the Rambam, but he calls it Yemei, like that's the Marshal Shita. There's the Machlokes Rishonim. We assume because that the law is we don't have to have a Suda, but there are Rishonim. It's a Machlokes Rishonim on whether you have to have a Suda on Chanukah. So that's what the Mefarshim want to say. That's what the Rambam. Why is the Rambam focusing here on? He's giving me a history lesson. You know what?